Hi folks, I'm Alan Watt and this is Cutting Through the Matrix on the 22nd of May 2016. You know, we often, in our own egos I suppose, like generational egos, who get a certain time that you're alive, you think this is your generation, all that nonsense is fed into you, is drummed into you to deceive you naturally, and to make you just go along with everything that's happening in your life, thinking it's all brand new and so on. And in reality, all the cons that go on, are simply updates of very ancient cons to do with managing masses of people, and even right down to the small tribe and individuals. They're all techniques of management. Management generally by those who want to profit off the herd. And they were awfully good at this thousands of years ago. How do you think they are today? And of course, the old saying, order out of chaos, is to create as much chaos as possible. And during it all, you're constantly steering. If you're the one of the masters, you're steering the direction of the future for yourself to benefit from, as everybody else is wondering what's going on. And you've got to hand it to the big boys that manage the planet, with all their front people and front groups. I mean, it's a massive enterprise, mind you. And they're awfully good, awfully good at diverting you. It's to do with predatory behavior. You can take the techniques, for instance, of birds in the field. Sometimes you get some birds around here which will pretend their wing is broken and they really lay their eggs and nests on the ground, in the grass, tall grass. And they'll run out before you get near the nest, and they put a wing out as though it's broken and run round in circles, hoping you'll start following it, you see. And it's a diversion. Very clever. Very, very clever. Other animals, you get ones in Australia, little lizards, that can get up on their back legs and chase you, even if you're in a vehicle. And so they'll puff out this big wing thing behind their neck to make them look bigger, you see, more fearsome. And it's kind of comical. You watch these little characters. But these are the things that have their desired effect on that which it's meant to do, to have an effect on. There's also a type of pigeon which is called a tumbler, because they fly in a little flock, but they'll tumble pretty well about the same time in a ball, and as though they're falling out of the sky. And what they're doing is simulating they've been hit or they're dying or whatever, to say hawks, for instance, where some of the countries that these things maybe were bred or whatever, had a lot of hawks. And the hawk comes down and strikes its prey, its flying prey, other birds, and it just tumbles, you see. So these birds literally do it and to throw off any possible predators that are following them. It's fascinating, really, to watch this. But then again, it takes me back to little bits that kind of sneak out in statements by powerful people. It's like Rothschild, for instance, when he was asked about when is the best time to make a pile of money, and he said when the blood is running in the streets. In other words, when everyone else is in utter chaos. If you plan, and probably plan before the chaos started, what was going to happen, you could plan to sell everything that they would possibly need in a panic, thinking they might survive. Where they do survive, right? That's not your concern. It's the selling off your products that's important to you, you see. So you think about that. Then you have also guys like Albert Pike, who talked about we don't condemn nature. Understand that from even in ancient times to the present times, there's a lot of little sayings where they'll use to do with human beings, for instance, little sayings. They'll use it as though animals are the examples to get a point home to us. And when you look at the big animals that are worshipped in some countries across the Middle East, it's all the big carnivorous animals, for instance, the ferocious lion. It can rip anything to pieces if it wants to. Strong, powerful, and doesn't really show much emotion and so on. But again, too, it doesn't stop there. The lion interbreed with its own and loves its own offspring and so on, you see. So it's really a little saying about people, families, old families, that they can do the same thing down through the ages. The world is its domain, you see. And you've all heard about, or maybe seen or read, The Lion King. That's what that was about too, by Rudyard Kipling. The world's theirs, you inherit it from your father, who owned it all before you and everything in it, basically. And you're the boss. Nothing can stand against you. It's the same in the human realm, you see. Those who have studied animals for long enough, over thousands of years, along with the people, and they know exactly how to keep themselves sustained in an incredible lifestyle, in all ages, by the way, and way ahead of everybody else. You take even this very astonishing ancient trade they had, for instance, in the GNC. And there were bases near the GNC. There was a huge island near GNC. We know this because people have gone to the remains of this island, and like all these big, massive volcanic islands, and they're really huge, some of them, sank eventually, and the outer rim was left with little islands eventually, and there's one called Terra, and they have various archaeologists chipping away in the different islands, and they realize it was a massive, massive place where the richest folk of the ancient period lived. Beautiful spot, of course, naturally. Beautiful weather, looking down this azure blue sea. Nice little breezes. But they had hot and cold running water. Huh? Thousands of years ago. For the people who lived there. And they found meticulous charts of all that they owned, their imports, exports, all their shipping lanes, their ships themselves, etc., the crew, yada, yada, yada. Incredible detailed stuff. Just the same as you'd have it today, for instance. And we think that everything that's happened is only happening in our lifetime. We don't realize the techniques of taking over world trade and using armies and ships to do it. At war, in the sea, there's nothing new. Nothing new. We think we're always learning something new. No, we're not. The big boys are taught the reality of how to maintain the same system for themselves. It's only the people who think it's a new phenomenon, whatever it happens to be, at the time of their living. And when it happens. So, but no, there's nothing new at all. And those who have power in all ages, never let it go. They don't say, well, I've had enough of this power thing. Let's just go and put our feet up and spend all the cash. It doesn't happen with the powerful families. It's as though it's a religion to them, their own existence and perpetuity and their family names. It's a religion to them, you see. And they must be successful. They must continue to rule, you see. And then you have the helping classes who work for the cash and the privileges, the extra privileges. Because if you work for the money boys at the top, you'll have as many privileges as you want bestowed upon you by the governments, because the governments are also owned by the moneyed class. The big boys who literally lend to nations can sink your country. They can sink it overnight. By decision they make, two or three of them or a few of them together. And the next day, your currency is worth nothing. And your government's gone out of business. And guess what? The people in government aren't going to allow that to happen. So they'll obey every order that comes down the pipe by the big money boys that lend the money to them. Quite simple. Your governments don't run anything, really. The big boys at the top dictate who lives and who dies, who drowns and who doesn't, you see? Quite simple. But getting back to appearances and chaos and all the rest of it while things are going on, it's the most beautiful way to make piles and piles and piles of money, especially if you've been trained in it and brought up in it. But it helps too to be basically psychopathic. A psychopath has no moral qualms. A psychopath can't relate to the feelings of someone being, for instance, run over by a military tank. They can't relate to any feelings at all. You won't even get a blip on the machine that will test that was going through their head, you know, any emotion. Nothing will happen, you see. Be flat. And that's the difference, you see. That's the difference between normal people, ordinary folk, and those who really rule. Now, there's no doubt about it in my mind, and it has been for an awful long time, that psychopaths rule the world. That's the nature of it, you see. Today, the psychopaths have an easier time because they do have professional public relation marketing companies to do all their talking for them, to reword everything. They have the script writers and public image creators and so on. It's all done for them. It's much, much easier, much easier. If you look into the 1800s, for instance, and before that, any really powerful person was loath to give any interviews at all. And that's why there's such skimpy information on anybody that mattered at the top of anything. But today, it's quite easy because everybody's on board with them. There's no company under the sun that's going to print or publish any derogatory thing or something that makes a person look bad during an interview. It will definitely be edited right out beforehand. That's how perfect it all is today. That's how perfect it is. Now, you take all the methods of modern warfare, and I think everyone's probably seen through the movies and so on, the techniques that some of the aircraft, or that allow you to see actually for some aircraft, will use if they're being hunted by other aircraft in warfare. And you'll see the missiles getting fired at them. And then they've got other things you can do, scatter different things that will try and detract from the chase, or distract, in other words, the pursuing missile into some aluminum foil or metal or whatever it happens to be. There's different techniques, and you can fire missiles off hoping that the one that was fired at you will chase it, you see, in the heat seeking time. There's all kinds of things that they do to try and fool the pursuer. But it's the same thing, too, you'll find, in, as I say, in the animal world as well. There's different tricks that some animals, when they're being pursued, will play on the pursuer. That's just the nature of things. But that's all been studied, as I say. And then when you study humans, the same things are then projected onto what humans could and should do, especially if you're the ones creating the pursuit. The trick is never to let the public really know who's pursuing you. Now, we know, for instance, that we've got 1,000 things hitting us per day. Irrelevant nonsense that we can do nothing about. That's all the chaff that they throw out there to distract you, just like the missile, you see, this pursuing. It's meant to distract you, keep you occupied with stuff that's irrelevant. All right, where it lies, it doesn't matter. But the truth must never be told to the public. Never. And guess what? It never has been. Never has been. Never, ever has been. When you look at history, it's like finding a brick somewhere. And you've got to examine that brick carefully and then you've got to find like a little crack somewhere on its surface that opens up a whole new world from what the exterior is showing you. And that's what the study of history is. Because no matter what you're looking at, a documentary or a book that you're reading on history, no matter what it is, it's a tiny scraping of what was involved at that time, at that period, with the particular topic that you're on at the moment. It literally, you talk about subterfuge and intrigue, there's nothing more. It's a labyrinth. And that's the beauty of order out of chaos, isn't it? For the masters, that is. Because it's got this labyrinth they create. And most folk can't go all the way and say, well, I want to know all. And what's really behind it, that which is behind all that, etc., etc. Which is, again, an old Masonic saying. That which is behind all that. And who's got time in their life to do it anyway? Do you realize how beautiful the system is when it keeps you not just trotting, but running through your life generally? Running. So you don't have time to examine anything. And that's beautiful, really, isn't it? Remember the whole idea, again, going back to studying humanity. Who had the time in ancient times to study anybody? It was a psychopathic class. And their children. Because remember, psychopaths tend to breed at the top with other psychopaths because it's called, they're successful. To be so successful in this world, you have to have psychopathic traits. You can't have emotions and make you feel sorry for people and maybe even share your cash with them. Oh no, you can't have that at all. So you marry other psychopaths and you have offsprings which are naturally quite psychopathic, more traits of the psychopath. That's just the way it really is. They think they are the normal folk and survivors. Look upon everybody else as stupid. And they talk about people like that, masses of people like that, quite openly as being stupid. You know, sometimes you have to wonder. When they can take whole nations and have them slaughtering each other like they did in the wars of Europe for centuries. Right through World War One, then two. And everybody willingly joins up because the propaganda is so primitive and simple, you never change it. You never change it. Never complicate the propaganda for the average person. And they're just so proud to go off and get slaughtered. You know? They'll never be told any truth as to why this war started, who's really behind it, who profits from it. They're told none of this. And then in the history books you get simplified, very, very simple, and lying history books, obviously. Obviously. I mean, you take the period you've been living through yourselves, a lot of you, and when you find all the different ties between the terrorist groups, the CIA and all the other intelligence agencies that have gone on for as long as they're going to give us for the history of intelligence agencies, it's always been like that. The public never know. And now, even though it's exposed who's behind this new terrorist group and so on, who finances blah, blah, even the fact that the heads of some of these so-called terrorist groups are CIA trained and operative, and along with MI6 and everybody else, it doesn't matter. Give it a week or two and it's back to the same simplified story. Oh, they're the terrorists. Those are the bad guys there. And most folk have forgotten already, well, what was that about the CIA? It's all gone. That's what fascinates me. And if you dig into any history, doesn't matter what story it is, what part of history it is, remember, history is his story, yeah? It's a story. But you dig into any of it, and my God, the muck you can rake up. And what's a surprising too to any elite, and they do study everybody, you know, is to find out why, what makes you tick, that you care about this stuff, when all those around you really don't. You know? In fact, they'll say it's not really healthy. The healthy way is to be dumb and stupid and don't take interest in this stuff. Where's it going to get you, they'll tell you. Why worry about things? Why getting, you know, why? That's what the folk around you will say, why? So that it tells you they're quite happy not knowing. Well, when you're happy not knowing something that may help you survive, even as a species, you're doomed. You're doomed. And that, again, is a trait in hunting of how to deceive that which you hunt, your prey. And we've all kinds of decoys today, etc. All kinds of things to decoy them. All kinds of things. What works with a duck will work with other characters too. They bring in guys from the Middle East to dress them in their national garbs. They give them websites in Britain and other countries, and then they recruit people, young guys, and radicalise them. Now, that's all been exposed already from Britain and elsewhere. You bring in the decoy, you know. Well, looks like one of us. Must be one of us. Quite like one of us. There's nothing in this life, in the world of intelligence gathering and so, there's nothing you can truly get involved and literally trust. And you'll never know it all. Never know it all. There's folk being bumped off all along. Knocked off. Yeah. Who do know a lot more than you do. But and that's part of the reason they get bumped off. Not because they're dangerous at that moment, but they might become. Supposing they got drunk one day and got ticked off at something. And just come out with a few quotes or statements or something. Boom. No, you know. Everybody's expendable, I see, in this game. Everybody's expendable. We live in a world where we've been given nothing but a Disney version of it. It's just not real at all. Your reality is not real. It's as manufactured from start to finish as any big time movie. Yep. I said before that in the archive section at cuttingthroughmedias.com about the techniques of depopulation go back way back into the Middle Ages and before. Some of the lords had their scribes talk about the different ways of keeping the population down and check and so on. You know? So, but again, too, they wanted to breed them up for warfare when they wanted war to happen and go off and fight some cousin across in France or something. That was what they always did. The techniques of managing the human herd, let's say, that's how they talk about people, as you say, it's very old, very, very old. And so, no matter who ends up apparently winning some big war down through history, you'll find there's much, much, much more to it than just them winning some dispute over borders. It's always to do with property. To gain more property. In the old ancient times, even before the money was standardized, money came from men, mon, you see. How many men do you have, or mon do you have? That was your slaves. That was your slaves. There's so much to say, naturally, but you can't see it all, right? Or it's just, I've said it before, but the fact is, you'll never know complete reality. But one thing I've said over and over is you can trust the big boys, because when they have their big meetings and they float out ideas, they're called trial balloons to the general public through little articles and sometimes big articles. They keep using the best magazines and so on, TV shows and so on, to float an idea out to see how you'll grasp it or just to familiarize you subconsciously with the idea in the first place. That no matter how absurd it seems at the time, don't dismiss it and never forget it. Because you'll see this idea that floated out being built upon and built upon until one day it's thousands of pages long and a bill is getting passed to do with if you can live in the future, right, I mean the near future, where you're living, like Agenda 21, 21st century. It's still in effect. Don't say it's 2030. No, 2030 is only one part of Agenda 21. Because it's all done in sections for the whole century, you see. To get you off the land, to get you stuck in the cities and so on. They want to depopulate the planet. They're quite easy to depop. Don't think it's just to warfare. There's many forms of warfare. If they get enough folk, they know the tipping point in any city. They can also lower the tipping point in any city by starting to take money out of the city that's supposed to go on repairs and sewage upkeep, etc., things like that. And what happens when you don't upkeep things? Disease breaks out. For that to happen in the right sequence, you must force the folk in, and actually through coercion, Because you take away all the other choices. That's what choices are for. Choices, you need lots of choices. You need them. Because once you start taking choices away, like can you drive a particular type of vehicle? Are you going to be punished for driving a particular type of vehicle, just like the ordinary vehicle we're used to, if you're living in the country, to get around? Because other stuff, the electrics that won't handle it. No way in the winter. No way. Take that away and say, oh, you can still buy an electric car. No, darn well, you can't. No, what are you going to do? So you move from the country. Or you get penalized. I'm going to touch on that tonight because it's awfully important. It ties right into what I'm talking about. They'll penalize you for living in the country. And an example of that is, well, we're also Ontario. It's a great place to break out, isn't it? For the greenies are in control here. So the far, what you think is far left, but they're not really. Now, they wanted to depopulate. That's one of the big world agendas through the World Health Organization and the World Population. It should be called Population Control Department, United Nations, but now it's just Population, Department of Population. I remember, too, the United Nations was far more honest when they had the League of Nations. They thought people after World War I would get on their knees just and live with science, science to rule our lives. Right down to who should live and die and all that kind of stuff to save the rest. So you're into management of the people. They don't need the wars that they used to have. They don't need the massive numbers either to fight the kind of wars they had in the early to the mid-20th century, because they have much, much better weaponry now. In fact, they have weaponry where they don't have to actually have any physical things in the arena of war. It's done through literally sci-fi stuff, through various very advanced electrical means. But they don't need the masses anymore to go off and fight, you see. And war is incredibly profitable. Incredibly profitable. It's so comical, really, when you see across Europe for World War One and Two, you had five main branches. Some will say six of the banking establishment. You go back to the Rothschilds and all the rest of it too, financing all sides because they're based in different countries of the war, working things between themselves of for exports and imports in all these different countries. Creating scarcities in some, so the prices were skyrocketing, etc. And then again, flooding the market with some other things and bringing them down. It's all managed. And you hand this power to private bankers, for God's sake. It doesn't make sense because it's not meant to make sense, you see. You can't make sense out of manufactured thievery, a manufactured system where certain families have more power over the most basic thing. See, the most basic thing in our society isn't food, it's money. You need money to buy the food. Before, it was the food. You could grow the stuff, you could barter, but no, once money came in, and then people become the kings of money, and they have everything running on this thing called money, which technically in itself is useless, they own you. They got you. They have you. So when an animal's been hunted, it'll try little diversionary tricks and so on. When, say, the predator has gone deep into an enemy country, it's going to create little diversions there before anything happens. To take the heat off something. You see, things have to be kept simple, even for anybody, really, and the general public as a whole together. Very simple, just like their propaganda. And so you have the folks saying, oh, it was too many folks, too many of you folk, too many of you people. You see, we don't need you anymore. All those working class type peoples and so on. And the useless middle classes, we don't need all these characters anymore either at the lower middle classes. And so how do you get rid of them? How do you persuade them not to have children? Well, we've been through the histories of that. Going to the archive section again, cutting through midis.com. I went through the whole Bernays strategy and so on, and the book by Charles Galton Darwin called The Next Million Years, and he talks about how to stop people from breeding, basically. The target population is. And he goes through all the other ideas the Leap have been openly talking about at world meetings, by the way, of advancing what was left of society if they get rid of all the, you know, the dregs of society and advance in the rest. He says, if only the ordinary folk would just stop breeding with each other and allow us to fertilize all the women. Because he had the better genes, all the successful people, you see, all the psychopaths. And they're open about that, and he talked about that too, and so on. But see, they could never really force people to do it, so it's an awful pity. Well, how else can you do it? You simply give them cancers, depopulate, and you make them sterile. And we've all become, everybody out there is pretty well sterilized, you know, after the age of 30, they've got a hard time, and it's even getting younger all the time now in the Western countries. Now, the masters don't like us making our own decisions, you see. It's untidy when we make our own decisions. You create urban sprawl. The first thing they talked about when they got the first satellite photographs, look at that urban sprawl. Look at that urban sprawl. It should be all tidy, like a square little package stuck right there, you know, where that big city is, all crammed together. All that countryside out there should be for the elite to go there and do their sporting things and stuff like that, you know. Yeah, a little paradise for them. But they couldn't get the folk back in the 1940s, 50s and 60s to voluntarily go and get sterilised. The ordinary folk. They couldn't get them to just cooperate, you see. They put a lot of, mind you, when they're using your tax money to brainwash you, they did a lot of work to try and do it, but it just didn't take off. So they came out and they just polluted your food and everything with estrogens, you know, estrogens, etc. And to make you start breeding that way until a lot of folk don't know it, but they're actually sterile. They're actually sterile. And that's one part of the objective, you see, is sterilization of the wrong kind of folk, which is a good majority of them today, apparently. And again, that they're into the genetics for the selective breeding and so on, and the enhancement of the classes which are helping them at the top. The managerial classes of scientists and technocrats and all the rest of it. A lot of privileges they get, for sure. But for the rest of the public, it's a slower process. So you won't go and commit suicide voluntarily, and you won't get sterilized. And they're fed up waiting around for you to die off, you know, which we're dying off at a pretty good rate now. And there's all kinds of things to make us die off faster as well. There's cancers, as you all know, are out of control. And it's so fast now, and so many weird types of cancers developing so quickly. They have no names for these types of cancer. They're just out of the blue. In places they never used to be. And spreading so fast that they can't even keep up with them. That's progress, eh? And there's no dire, you know, crisis to find out what's causing all. Which means they know what's causing it all, which means it's intended. If it's continuing, it's intended, you see. Quite plain. But since folk won't voluntarily just quickly, you know, end it all, then what can you do? You just do what the animals do when they're being hunted and so on. Play little tricks. Take them off what you really are after. And give them more concrete reasons and imperative reasons why they should go along with all of this. And that's where they came up with global warming. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. There's that many folk causing global warming. You see? Until ordinary folk that just are stuck watching TV and get all the reality from it start parroting the same stuff as well. The ordinary people. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? And then you'll get the ordinary folk too thinking, taking the elite's point of view. Because that's all you get when you watch these documentaries on which must be done, you see. And they'll parrot it verbatim. Yeah. It's astonishing to me. When nothing really makes sense when you look at what they claim is the problem. What's the problem recently, eh? There's too many European folk, actually they're talking about the white Europeans, openly, come on, we all know it, it's been in all the newspapers, there have been news clips about it, where some of the leaders of the different big cities in Germany, some radical women actually, or leaders, said it's the end of the German or white male, and it's a very good thing. So there's an open, honest statement of the agenda from their point of view. Someone's been teaching them this since they were little children, you know. And then they say, well, there won't be enough Europeans bred to pay off the debt in the future, right? So they'll bring in Muslims that will say, should, including the Pope said it, should breed with what's left of the European woman, and that will save the day. What, for the economy or what? Look, there's too many people or what? Well, make your mind up here. See, there's no logic here. When there's no logic, there's another motive behind it all. Always, folks. You think we'd be quite happy that the populations are declining since they're on about too many people, overpopulation, global warming, CO2. Make your mind up. You want the same amount of people? You want more people? What do you want? There's an other reasons behind it all. There's definitely a group wants the eradication of certain groups across Europe and elsewhere. There's no doubt about that. They've been rather vocal about it, even so, more so recently. It's quite something, isn't it? Who benefits? Reality is a very serious business if you're reality seeking. And it's very murky. And it's very dangerous. Because if you are one of the few who can communicate well with other people, and you have the information, and you can get it across, the facts, in other words, people can at least go and check up themselves and say, yes, I agree with that, or I don't agree with that. The fact is, you become a problem. Bertrand Russell said it. He said, we try and recruit those into scholarships from the ordinary folk, the ordinary peasant type, you know. It says, the ones who are brighter, try to recruit them and give them scholarships into the Ivy League schools. And if they do that, we get them on our side and they work for us. But they must agree to basically leave their families like the others, and they don't belong in their family, all that kind of stuff. And if they won't, he said, and they remain out amongst the communities, their own peoples, or classes is what he actually meant to say, they can be an awful problem and will have to be dealt with, he says. And he says they will have to be eliminated because they can put things across to their own, it's an awful word again, kind, oh dear. As we pretend we're not classless. Or we pretend we are classless. What a farce that is, isn't it? What a farce. I mean, the Bushes of the Skull and Bones bunch, which is just one part of the big intelligence system. Skull and Bones. But the Bushes, who are all pretty well members of it, the male lines, Bush Jr. did say to those around him who worked with him, and then to put this in the books and so on, he says he's never known a poor person, an ordinary person. He meant a working class. Working class folk are poor because they do know that at the top. They make sure you're poor, even if you're working. But he says, I've never known a poor person. He says, does anybody here know poor people? I want to know how they think. I have no idea how they think. So he's trying to find someone to go out amongst the poor to find out how the poor folk think. I mean, that shows you an awful lot right there, you see. Now, his armies that he used extensively were made up primarily of the poor folk. That's who always make up the bulk of armies and do most of the dying. But he wouldn't have to personally really meet them, you know, except for photo ops, for television, stuff like that. It's quite amazing, though. Until you yourself can get up there occasionally and mix with some of them, and you'll find that their reality is vastly different from the one that you've been brought up with. and they see themselves as being incredibly more practical with all their decision making than you will ever be, because they don't have the emotional impediments, the natural impediments of making awful decisions that end up killing lots and lots of people. And we've got to, and I really mean this, you've got to learn that you better believe there are people born all the time who are drastically different from yourself, who don't have the natural camaraderie between human and human, and the natural emotion to help each other in times of crisis and all that. Not, there are people all the time who are born who simply don't have that. They don't have that at all. But they certainly have this predatory Lion King mentality of exploiting all situations to profit from them. As I say, every army needs incredible financing, all borrowed money, to even get a shoelace for the boot, to whoever it happens to be, all that just for one guy. And he's keeping board, it's all on the taxpayer's tab. Everything he or she today needs is on the taxpayer's tab. The heavy equipment is incredibly expensive, and each fighter jet now can go into the billions. Awfully lucrative. So if you think war is going to be stopped, forget it, folks. It's too lucrative for big boys to stop. And since your government is run by, number one, the money boys at the top, who also control the lobbyists for the big corporations, because the corporations are owned by the banks, for those who don't know that, it's astonishing. Now I'm going to try and get on to what I was going to talk about. Here is Ontario. Ontario, as you well know, for folks who live in Canada, but outside Canada too, Ontario is ultra-liberal, ultra-green, etc. Liberal is not what you think liberal is. Carl Quigley explained himself that his organization, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Royal Institute for International Affairs, were often mistaken because of all the machinations they were up to, manipulations of policies and so on, and shaping the future. They were often mistaken for communists, but they weren't. Never forget that. Because they were basically set up by the biggest bankers of their day. So it says here, they're using climate change. See, they use climate change now as an excuse to indoctrinate you as to why they must start enforcing, getting you off the land, getting you out of the cars, forcing it into the overcrowded cities, except where you'll die off and diseases are going to break out that you wouldn't believe. See, just like the, you fire something out the plane when you're being chased, hopefully that missile is going to get attracted to this decoy and so on. Always cover your ultimate objective with a more beneficent objective, you see. So that's why they want to do it. Not because there's too many of you, because it's because they want to save what's left of us all from climate change, from killing us all. So it becomes a mantra like a religion. Until you have to say it, that's what you have to say now, climate change. And no one's going to question you. It's like a holy thing. You can't question it. It's holy. So I'm going to put some articles up on Ontario and some of his draft plans, which it hasn't released officially to the press, but it did get out to the press from insiders on these supposed leaks. And they're talking about getting you eventually getting everybody into electric cars by bribing them, by giving them thousands of dollars to buy the darn thing. And then eventually doing away with internal combustion engine, all of that kind of stuff. Your home, if you're in a country, you won't be able to afford, because, and I've said it for years, the UN is in charge of every policy to do with your home, every particular building code regulation and all the other codes. Once you have the house up and going, it must be kept up and up and up to date. They keep changing them every other year, so you can't eventually do it. Your septic tank would need replaced every year or two, and that's thousands. You can't afford it. You can't afford it. There's a thousand ways they can get you off the land through law. Law is a great club, isn't it? It's a big, big club. It's awfully good. And again, they'll give you lots of fines per day, thousands of dollars, if you don't comply. That's how beneficent your governments are to you. But anyway, Ontario, I'll put that up there too, and you can go through the things that they want to do, because you won't be able to sell your home either in the country unless you have everything up to date to the codes from the United Nations. If it's any thermal leaks at all, the claims are there, you can't sell it till they're fixed. Thousands and thousands of bucks. It'd be way more than the home's even worth to fix it. And that's the plan, you see. So I'll put that one up there, and a few other articles on the same particular thing to do with climate change and climate plan. Should the provinces in Canada all go along with it or not? Well, you know darn well, they're already doing it and starting off in some places in the US. Some of the provinces of Canada have teamed up with some of the states in the US, and they bypass your federal government and all the rest of it. It's all been done years ago, folks. Everything always is. And it's all been done through private organizations, which end up being at the very top, the same organization. Right? And also, an article by Rex Murphy, Leap comes to Ontario with Wynne's new climate change plan, which is hell. Literally, they want to stop you from living. Because they won't even stop natural gas being used in your home to heat yourself. Well, if they're banning wood for wood stoves and you're banning natural gas, they've already banned coal, I think, and so what are you going to be left with? Who benefits? Is it going to be the big... They're not saying they're going to ban oil. Isn't that odd? Isn't that odd, eh? And so on and so on. And that's how they do things, basically. So I'll put these articles about Ontario and Canada, and supposedly some of the leaked things are going to make you all do if you have a home in the country at all, and what they're going to do to you if you don't comply, basically. And remember, too, be like a terrier that's chasing a rabbit or a hare. And when that hare doubles back in itself in a very fast twist in the loop, you see a little terrier going after and doing exactly the same thing. It doesn't get distracted. It doesn't fall for the little ruses. It sees what it's after. It keeps going for it. And it doesn't give up. And that's how you have to be as well. Don't be distracted by the change of terminology to get the same goal through. Don't fall for, oh, we only had your best interests at heart for all you overpopulous people. Now you'll find, too, this other part of this monopoly scam, it's the what's called the Green Bank, set up a while back, actually quite a few years back. And we know that Rothschilds and all the big players are involved in it, of course. And you'll find, too, a lot of even the carbon credits and so on are going through these banks already and creating a fortune for the people who own the banks. You know how much interest you can gather overnight on billions of dollars? It's quite amazing. Everyone's thought out in advance by those who already own the planet. How to change is a different story altogether because, as I say, here you are, you're a little terrier chasing that rabbit, and they've got all things going flying across the field in front of you trying to distract you constantly. That's what your whole life is about. That's really what it's about. And it really is that perfect too, to be honest with you. It truly is. If you looked into just one area, for instance, of who the CIA has sponsored, like terrorist groups and so on, over a long period of time, you'll find it's so interwoven with many other areas of what's become history and wars, destabilizations, and your countries as well, the ones you think are not at war. Completely interwoven with policies and everything else. It's just astonishing. And that's how the world is truly, truly run. The simplistic little statements you get in history books are a joke, an absolute joke. Lies is too soft a word, actually, but it's also a joke, really, truly incredible joke. Not too long ago, before television and radio, people were paranoid, and I mean paranoid about government. They didn't trust them because of the history of what governments are all about and what they do. And I think the US is one of the few countries that actually wrote openly about what government, you know, being a fearful master and all the rest of it. It's something we take for granted. It exists like air, therefore it must be normal, or taxation is normal because it exists, and blah, blah, blah. What is really normal when you think about it? Governments always had the goal of total obedience from the public. Control freaks from the ancient times to the present want instant obedience. It's hard to get instant obedience unless you make the people, first of all, think they're free. And if you make them think they're free, you aren't going to get quite the instant obedience. But if you play it properly with good psychologists and psychiatrists and neuroscientists all on board working out through public relations companies how to word things to put across the public, they'll comply with you because they think it's for their own good. Like, you know, a good portion should commit suicide and then it would slow down global warming. You see what I'm saying? That's how simple it all really is. A goal has always been in mind by them, to have their own little Eden for themselves in the future and all its resources that are left and so on without all of you around in a high-tech society where they won't need you. They've already published their ideal population sizes for the planet, for goodness sake. And they, of course, is the elite who rule the world and their top academia characters who sit and write all these books for you to read and get angry about because that's who's working for them, you see. That's what it's all about. Total control. Total. What better way to have the people think that you're doing everything for their own benefit rather than come out and actually tell them what you're really up to? A very simple trick, isn't it? Again, you know, put something between the hare or the rabbit and the little terrier that's chasing it. Try and distract it and so on. That little terrier is hard to fool, that little terrier. Believe you me. People are far, far easier to fool, unfortunately. Because we have a social gene in us, basically, for humans, you see. And we think that other humans think the same way as we do and feel the same way as we do about things. And guess what, folks? They live. They're amongst you. They don't. They really don't. And I'm sure there's many of you have met some of them in their travels through life. Where it's kind of shocking, isn't it, when you meet them. They're saying all the things someone in an elite position would say. Yeah, I think there's just too many of the people. No, oh, but they should sterilize them, you know, there'll be too many people, blah, 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 and so on and so on. And they chat away. They're out there, all right. And you think, my God, these people are living amongst you. And if you give them that just a little bit more power, you can imagine, they've already told you what they'd do with it. And such people are not. You see, they don't believe in democracy. They don't believe in democracy at all. They believe the right of the fittest and often the most aggressive, which goes together, to rule, you see? And they put themselves in that camp, never knowing that from an elite's point of view, looking down, way down that tunnel, down at them, they would never fit into the elite's position. They would never ever get anywhere near them. So they'd be bumped off as well after they bumped off you. That's how the world works. I'll show you how it works. But what a great way to get everyone to cooperate. Change your intention, which is obvious. Obscure it. Obfuscate it. Make it less obvious through behind all this myriad of hazy top. Oh, global warming. Oh, greenhouse gases. And anthropogenic global warming. Oh. Man-made. Oh, too many of them. Yep, isn't that something? Almost all that we take for granted. Because it was there where we were born, everything, the whole system. Is a bit, not just an illusion, but it's a con. A con is an illusion, you see. It's a magic spell. So what you see is not what it really is there. That's what it really is. And when you think about all the rackets and cons that are perpetrated on a daily basis, not just around you in your immediate vicinity, but in the whole nation and in the whole world. It's just a staggering, absolutely staggering. And it takes cooperation of thousands, maybe into the millions of people, the managerial class, to keep it all going like that, you see. Things really are very, very simple. Very simple. Forget all this scientific babble. It's like, I think it was, I don't know if it's Theodore Roosevelt or Franklin Roosevelt, talked about the old saying, it's talking about the use of facts to prove a point. And it's amazing how every side can get its own facts to try and prove a point. If you only listen to one side, that's, you probably believe them because it seems to be true. Same in books and everything else, you see. And I think he said, there are lies, damn lies. And it's very clever the way it's phrased. And then there are statistics, because when statistics started coming in, it was like, oh, it's scientific, therefore it must be true. It could stand up above everything else, you see, because it must be true. It's statistics. It sounds scientific, you see. Scientific. No, it's not just an opinion on something. It's scientifically derived, you see. That's the trick of it all. Very simple, isn't it? And it reminds me too, always to remember that everything is simple. I mean, it's complicated. There's a reason for it being complicated. It's because it's covering an incredible scam. Incredible scam, that's all it is. I think it was Abbott and Costello did one of their skits, a little skit, a comedy skit, on borrowing 50 cents. If you can find it somewhere on YouTube or wherever, look at it, because that really says so much of the whole system. So much of the whole system. You've got the con man part, the straight man, who plays the guy who borrows the money. You've got the ordinary guy who represents all of you, who's going to lend it to him. And just watch what happens. You see? Just watch what happens.
Listen, I've got to get you a job.
Yeah?
I've got to use a telephone. Loan me 50 cents, Lou.
Yeah, but I would like to loan you 50 cents, but I can't do it. All I got is 40 cents.
40 cents?
Yeah.
Well, all right. Give me the 40 cents, and you owe me 10 cents.
Right.
All right?
Wait a minute.
Matter.
How come I owe you 10 cents?
What I asked you for?
50 cents.
And what'd you give me?
40 cents.
So you owe me 10 cents.
How could I owe you 10 cents?
Now, wait a minute.
I gave you all that money I had in my pocket. I gave you 40 cents.
Are you argue with me again?
No, I gotta owe you 10 cents besides.
I asked you for 50 cents.
Well, all I had was 40 cents. And
so
I
you owe me 10 cents.
How could I owe you 10 cents?
Take it easy. Take it easy. 40 cents and 10 cents is how much?
That's, everybody knows that.
It's 50 cents.
Oh, no. 25 and 25 is 50 cents.
Give me that. All right, here's your 40 cents. Give me back the dime you owe me.
Okay, now we're even.
Okay. That's my own fault for asking you for a loan of 50 cents.
You tricked me too much into this.
I shouldn't ask you for 50 cents.
How can I loan you 50 cents? Well, all I got left now is 30 cents.
Well, loan me the 30 cents and you owe me 20.
Okay.
Now, no arguments. Now, everything's all right. You owe me 20 cents. Now, make it, it's clear to you, am I right?
How can I owe you 20 cents now?
See, you have to
first I owe you 10 cents, now I owe you 20 cents. I give you all the money I got in the world.
All right.
I can't owe you that kind of money.
Wait a minute. Here's your 30 cents. Give me the 20 cents you owe me.
Okay.
There we are. Now we're all set.
We're all set.
We're all set. Now what are you hollering about?
I'm not... I don't understand this.
You don't understand.
It's kind of transaction.
What do you mean? What's so...
You start to ask for 50 cents and I give you 40 cents, I give you 30 cents.
My friend, it's the last time I'll ever ask you for the loan of 50 cents.
But you got me on me. How can I loan you 50 cents? All I got left now is 10 cents.
Is that all you got left?
That's all I got left.
Well, loan me the dime.
No, I ain't got nothing.
Now, wait a minute. Now, don't get excited.
I don't understand these transactions.
You're ruining my calculation.
You're ruining my finances.
Wait a minute. I'll tell you what I'll do with you. What did you have?
I have 40 cents when I started.
Just a minute. You want to take an IOU for the 40 cents?
Is it good?
Well, certainly it's good.
Well, that's business. I mean, after all, you go to a bank, you got to do that.
I do everything strictly business.
Well, that's all right. I'll take IOU.
You got a pencil?
Yeah, pencil.
Give me a pencil.
I'll put the IOU on my piggy bank.
That's right. Now, here. IOU 40 cents. There you are. Now, sign your name.
Okay. Louis Costello.
There you are. Now, you see, everything is legal.
That's how the world is really run. Mind you, it's not all laughing matter, because if you know this kind of stuff and you stand up to it, you will be dealt with without a laugh at all. And they'll use any kind of force necessary to deal with you if you stand up against it. So truth is never welcome in a corrupt society. I think it was Orwell said that, in fact, that telling the truth under a time of tyranny or something, he says, is considered a revolutionary act. So that's how you're classified, a revolutionary. And you're dealt with accordingly. That really is the world, isn't it? Anyway, that's nothing to do with what I was going to talk about today, but it's the way this happened to come out. Strange, that, isn't it? And hopefully I'll touch on what I was going to talk about maybe next time. But I like to often just let things come out the way that they are designed to come out. Anything straight rehearsed and all the rest, I guess, gets monotonous, isn't it? That's why I don't bother reading or watching regular news. I've never really watched TV for years and years. Never. And I'm a lot healthier for it. And plus, too, I can study the folk who are watching it, because it's incredible how every opinion is so easily given to them now. Just listen to them talking about things. And they adopt not just the topic and the idea of whatever they're meant to be getting, but also the opinion that the experts want them to have. Yeah. So it's a scientific control of society that takes many levels as well. Anyway, as I say, I'm just about surviving here, maybe. I don't know yet, but we'll see. And I hope you're all doing well out there too, because things are going to get, are getting worse, and are going to get a lot worse, actually. As we speak and as time goes on, it's just getting worse and worse and worse, and it's designed to get worse all the time. And Hamish too is still hanging in as well, which is astonishing. But I did all the right things to get his system kind of working back again, and he doesn't seem to be in any kind of pain. You know? He's got the tumours, but doesn't seem to be in any kind of pain. So hopefully I can get him to get through the summer. And that's all we can ask for, isn't it? That's all we can ask for. So from Hamish, myself, from Ontario, Canada, it's good night to me, your God scroll with you.